Welcome to Crozier Cast from the Diocese of Gallup. I'm your host, Bishop James Wall. And our special guest with us today is Mr. Bill McCarthy, who is the CEO of Southwest Indian Foundation. Bill, how are you today?
Good morning, Your Excellency. How are you this fine morning?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm doing well. So, Southwest Indian Foundation, if you could just kind of in a nutshell, tell me what Southwest Indian Foundation, what is Southwest Indian Foundation?
The Southwest Indian Foundation was established to lessen the poverty of the native tribes of the Southwest through specific relief programs, both material and spiritual.
So you say the tribes of the Southwest, so the tribes that we would be thinking about would be the Navajo, obviously, the Hopi people, the Zuni people, the Laguna, the Acoma, White Mountain Apache, and Hickory Apache. Okay,
yes.
Okay. So that's seven distinctive Native American tribes or peoples that we're speaking about. Can you tell me a little bit about how did Southwest Indian Foundation, or SWIF, we refer to it as SWIF, how did SWIF come about?
So early on, and as you well know, the first bishop of Gallup, Bishop Vasbalaghi, was a Franciscan, and the chancellor at the time was Father Dunstan Schmiedlin, and he was something of a right-hand man to Bishop Vasbalaghi, and he spent a lot of time working in the diocese, and he had a real finger to the pulse of the challenges and the problems with regard to the native people. So he decided that he wanted to drill a couple of water wells in the vicinity of Gallup. And at that time, as you well know, there was a great water shortage, and many of the families would have to travel great distances with barrels and buckets and with horse and cart to actually fetch their water. So it was a real hardship. And a lot of the water was not even drinkable at the time. So through the contacts he had with the U.S. Navy, he knew some folks from the Cincinnati area where the friars originated. And
so we're talking about the Franciscan friars of St. John the Baptist province who were from Cincinnati. And this was their mission outreach, correct, out in the Southwest?
I believe that's correct. I believe that's correct, Bishop. And so the first project of SWIF was to drill a couple of water wells in the Gallup vicinity, and they would drill the water wells on church mission land. And then not only would they supply the water, but then they would be required to take care of the maintenance and the traffic of the people coming through and drawing water from the well. Many of these wells were over 1,000 feet below the surface, and all in all, the number I've heard and read through our archives is close to 20 wells. And many of those wells are still operating, and most of them are on mission lands, probably within about a 50-mile radius of Gallup.
So those are wells, are they operated and maintained by SWIF to this day?
By SWIF, yes.
That's great work. That is wonderful work. When you think about in our modern world, here in the United States especially, to think that people would live in an area where they don't have access to water, that's a great poverty. So in order for SWIFT to do that, starting with Father Dunstan and Bishop Vasbalaghi, and to continue to do this day, that really alleviates a great burden and a great poverty that the people experience. So from the wells, where did the wells go?
So with the wells, that was the first project, and a lot of that was the support was through friendship and association and contacts with people back in Ohio. Father Dunstan then expanded because not only was there difficulty in resourcing water, but then there was great hardship in traveling over the large arroyos that we have in our area. So then he said, well, it's not only the water itself, but then actually getting to the water. So he started building bridges. And through some of his friendships and contacts with the U.S. Navy, there was a lot of steel and bridge material that had been left out in the South Pacific that the U.S. Navy had had hauled out there to basically invade Japan during the Second World War. And because the war ended abruptly, Father Dunstan was able to bring a lot of that building material and bridge building material back to our area, and that's what he used to build a number of bridges in the Gallup area.
I wonder if those bridges are those bridges still used today?
They are, and there are some that you can drive within 5 to 10 miles of Gallup, and you can see the bridges are still operative.
Nice. So that's the kind of the beginnings of Southwest Indian Foundation, or SWIF. And so maybe let's talk about what is it that SWIF does today, what that looks like. And also, this is a busy time of the year for you. So first, why don't we talk about why is it a busy time of the year, and then maybe we can talk a little bit about what SWIF is doing today.
I think this does connect to shortly after these two initial projects, the father realized that he needed wider support, so he was one of the first pioneers into actually direct mail, and he was early on with perhaps like Boys Town and the Cancer Society. He was one of the first 10 to 15 mailers in the United States, and they used to send out penny postcards by the millions. And the donations, when they would come back from all over the country, usually nickels and dimes and quarters. And a dollar was a large donation, and a $5 bill was a huge donation. And the donations used to come in massive bags. You know, it's like right out of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. So from there, that direct mail expanded and SWIF expanded our projects. We started working in areas of education, parochial education, diocesan schools, Protestant schools in our area, and a lot of human assistance, emergency assistance, food, clothing, shelter. And from that, we expanded into renovations of dilapidated homes and new construction. And we started hiring a lot of local natives who pretty much compile our workforce, because most of our employees are full-blooded native. And we've just continued to grow and expand over the last 45 years.
Nice. And so today you continue this work, and why is this time of the year so busy for Southwest Indian Foundation?
So when I started in 1988, we were just a straight direct mail program. And early on I had decided that perhaps to expand and to make use of the local artists and artisans that make beautiful products and really are exceptionally gifted, that we should somehow make this available to the outside world. So with my colleague Tom Ellison and myself, founded a catalog in 1989 through a very small, just insert into a number 10 envelope that we send out to our core list, and that continued to grow.
All right, let me stop you there. What's a number 10 envelope?
A number 10 envelope is just your basic business envelope.
All right, good.
So you
sent out this early catalog.
It was just a tiny little flap catalog with just half a dozen items or so. And then we, each mailing, we would add a few more items, and then shortly, probably in 1991, we had a large 24-page catalog that we put out to a larger list, not just to our core list, but we started doing acquisition or cold mailings to a larger universe.
So it was successful then, huh?
It was very successful, and it was a niche market that was not being it was not being addressed in the marketplace, and we were very blessed and fortunate that we had that opportunity, and we just continued to grow our product lines and expand and resource new items, and we've been doing that now for, you know, going on 30 years.
So some people receive the Southwest Indian Foundation catalog in the mail, but if you were somebody who didn't receive it in the mail, can you get these items online?
Yes, southwestindian.com is our website, and we approach our customer base through banner ads and emails, as well as the website. So we've gone viral, as well as we still do mail about 18 million catalogs a year. And then on top of our mailings, we do have a lot of commerce that we work through our website.
And so this is a busy time of the year because of that. We're gearing up. It's the Advent season, which is a time of preparation for the Christmas season, time when we look forward to the celebration of our Lord's birth, the event that's already taken place in time. But then we also look forward to our Lord's second coming. So it really is a time of preparation. But we also, it's one of the times that we go out and we buy lots of gifts for our family and our friends and those who are important to us and co-workers and all those things. And so a lot of people will shop with Southwest Indian Foundation either in the catalog or online and get some really just unique items made by Native American peoples, beautiful, beautiful images, and that's a great gift to receive on Christmas, isn't it?
Well, and thank you, Bishop. And I'm not sure how familiar the listenership is to our catalog, but we start getting excessively busy around the middle of November, and it's we call it our Native Santa workshop from about the middle of November through just a few days before Christmas. That we work a number of shifts, and we're working on weekends, not on Sundays, but nights and on Saturdays, and we're receiving calls and orders through our website, as well as orders in the mail.
Great. So today we're posting today our podcast, and today's Wednesday, December 14th, so there's still plenty of time to purchase items. You can purchase items throughout the year, though, right?
Yes, very much so. It's just probably at least half of our orders come in from November 1st through Christmas. So you obviously you can continue or order all through the year, but this is like our harvest time where we're excessively busy.
What's that website again? Is
southwestindian.com.
Southwestindian.com. That's great. Talk a little bit about the relationship with the Diocese of Gallup. As you mentioned, the founders of this, I think we look at Father Dunstan, we look at Bishop Espalagi, the first bishop of the diocese, which was founded back in 1939. He served here until 1969. And then I think Father Niles, who served down, another Franciscan priest who served down at the Zuni mission. So can you talk a little bit about the relationship of Southwest Indian Foundation and the Diocese of Gallup?
Well, being founded by a Franciscan and also being affiliated with the Diocese of Gallup, we've always had a very close relationship, ourselves and the Diocese of Gallup, that our organization is actually in the official Catholic directory, and we do derive our nonprofit status with the IRS because of our affiliation and association with the Diocese of Gallup. And although it is a separate mission, it is very closely related. There are so many parallels, and I think, to the benefit of both the Diocese of Gallup and the Southwest Indian Foundation, that we work in tandem and we have a good, close working relationship.
So what sort of things does Southwest Indian Foundation support in the Diocese of Gallup? What sort of endeavors does it support?
Because many of the students in the Catholic schools are Native, we give scholarships or tuition assistance to Native American children that would not be able to attend those schools without outside assistance. And then we also help through grants to those schools that need operating capital as well as resources for maintenance and utilities, etc.
That's great. So schools that might not be able to stay open, Catholic schools that might not be able to stay open, receive the benefits from Southwest Indian Foundation because of the generosity of people it supports with. And then also, as you mentioned too, there might be some Native American children who wouldn't be able to go to Catholic education, receive private education, and they might have to go to public school. And as we know, our public schools, especially in the two states where the Diocese of Gallup is present, public schools are not very good in terms of how they perform. New Mexico and Arizona, they're both ranked in the 40s, the high 40s. So that's great that Southwest Indian Foundation is helping to support the Catholic education in the Diocese of Gallup, but providing an opportunity for Native American peoples to send their children to this and receive just an excellent, excellent education. And a lot of those kids go off to college, right?
Absolutely. And I think that there's been a long kind of history with regard to graduates from our schools and how well they've done in going to schools of higher education and advancing themselves and becoming professionals. I know that's the case certainly with St. Michael's, that they have quite a good solid track record. We also help with Catholic Charities and a number of the agencies within the Diocese of Gallup. We are fairly large supporters, and a number of the other food pantries and emergency assistance programs. We also have an ongoing stove installation program where there are families that don't have adequate heat, and in the high desert it can get extremely cold in the winter with the winds, and a lot of times there's not proper insulation in the home. So we have a crew that does nothing but insulate and put cooking heating stoves putting those into the homes.
Yeah, I think sometimes people, if you're not from the Southwest and you hear the Southwest, you automatically say, oh, it's desert, and so it must be warm. But that's not necessarily the case, especially in the wintertime in the Diocese of Gallup. Everywhere it drops below freezing easily. It snows everywhere in our diocese. And as you mentioned, some people live in houses, maybe one room house. They might not have water. They might not have proper electricity. They might not have proper heating. And in the middle of the winter, that can be dangerous, can it?
It can. And the traditional hogan is just one room, so it serves as the kitchen, the dining room, the living room, and the bedroom. And so although it's traditional, they're traditionally built and they can be comfortable, it's obviously extremely tight quarters. And we will vet the families and go in and see what's the best application, what's the best kind of stove, where we'll install the stove with the catalytic converter, triple wall kit, to just to make sure it's safe. Also, with regard to these installations, there are a lot of times in remote canyons and far distances that they're hard to access off of mud roads. So it really is a third world environment, yeah. And it does get excessively cold, especially in the winter months, because people have a misconception that we live in the Southwest. They think of Phoenix or Tucson, or it's clement weather, but actually the altitude here is 6,000 feet above sea level or more, and so it's high desert and it does get excessively cold.
Now, as some of our listeners can hear right now, we just heard the train sound. Our new offices are located on the old historic Route 66, and we have over 100 trains that roll through a day. And they have to blow their horns in order, just for safety reasons. So every once in a while that happens in some of our podcasts. Well, Bill, thanks for coming on and telling us about Southwest Indian Foundation. One last time, throw that website at me. What's the address?
Southwestindian.com. And just on a personal note, the building, the new chancery that we're in, was actually the friar's residence going back to the 1940s. So there's a little bit of history right here, and we're right next to the train track, so you hear the trains come by numerous times a day.
The city of Gallup's in the heart of the Diocese of Gallup, and the chancery and Route 66 are in the heart of Gallup as well, so it's a great place. Well, thanks for being with us, and because today is the Wednesday of the third week of Advent, I thought we'd conclude with a little bit of a reflection. This comes from St. Clement of Rome, and he said that there is no time other than this life for the fulfillment of God's dream of happiness for us. We are free to choose the path of life or the path of death, not just physically, but above all spiritually. Both dimensions are connected and will be condemned or sanctified together, just as salvation has been granted us through Jesus, who became man, died, and rose from the dead for us. The path of life is not required, but the trail has been blazed, and it's up to us to follow the signals and the directions. So we reflect upon our Lord's birth into the world, and we reflect upon the invitation that he offers to us, each of us, that gift of eternal life. And let us all make an act of faith, and let us all follow our Lord, which will lead us to the gift of eternal life. So thank you for joining us this week on Crozier Cast from the Diocese of Gallup. I appreciate you listening to us, and may this day provide you all sorts of blessings, and may the Christ child who will be born at the celebration of Christmas, may he enlighten your hearts and your minds, and may you come to know him on a much, much deeper level. Thank you, and God bless.
Amen.